if you could sit forward a little bit. And we'll just do the zipper until she wants to pull it out because we're expecting others. So feel this connection. It's like your tailbone is the end of a top. And we're going to rotate this way. Keep going. Okay, so we're creating a cone of light.
Yeah. palms up, receptive. Feel the stream of blessings of all the holy ones, the past, present, and future. Feel them in a 360-degree experience around you. Palms upward. Empty cups, receptive to the divine light, that divine impulse. Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. And imagine from one source streaming infinite light and life. And those streams of light are flowing to us and back again. The divine dance of the soul, you might say. And we allow this light to fill us, to illuminate us. Take your palms upward, and just allow yourself to offer a blessing as if your murshid, your inspiration, Christ, Buddha, murshid is blessing you. So we begin the journey, and I realized that this morning when I said I was doing three classes, the reason I couldn't remember the third class is because there's really only two. However, I did prepare material for three, but I was very selective in what I prepared for those 3 days. So I'm going to merge those 3 days into two, and I don't think it's too much material. I'm trying to balance it again with practice. And if for some reason you can't be here tomorrow and you want to continue with the practice, which I think those of us in our immediate circle that are working with the practices together, you'll see the really profound connection of these and sort of the transition from what we've been working on. And the effect of these wazifas, at least for me, because I always begin them like a month ahead, so I'm kind of tuned in and I'm not giving things that I don't know what effect might happen, is pretty immediate. Like the first day, I started feeling them, and they're a beautiful trilogy of practices that go along with this teaching. So if for some reason you can't be here, please talk with Karima Gita or Noor Salima. They will make sure you have we have your email address, because we send out a posting, because we post those audio, okay? And sometimes video, but we don't have video today. So these again are the words of Hazrat Inayat Khan. And if I can offer some meager elaboration, I shall try my best. These are actually from selected papers that are usually given to slightly more advanced initiates. So it's a privilege to share them, and I hope that you will take them in the manner in which they're intended. These are called the Githas, and they're not usually published, but they are made available to initiates of a certain level of initiation. And if you're not an initiate, take what you can and use it. Okay. This is on the secret of attainment. So these are some secret teachings. And maybe there'll be something in here for you, Kalisa. When you learn that bilocation, I'm ready to sign up.
I promise I will share.
Okay, good.
If you work on that, and we'll have a class.
Yeah, that's right.
If I want to learn it, I'll come and teach it.
Okay, good. You have to practice it, and then you'll get it, and we'll all learn it. The secret, welcome. Come on, there's a chair there for you. And you can also...
Or here?
There, wherever. The secret of all attainment is in the analyzing of the self. The secret of all attainment is in the analyzing of the self. And again, this morning I said this isn't criticizing or sort of nitpicking, but it's looking deeply and honestly into oneself. In a way, it's like what we did yesterday with the retreat, that beginning step, right? Sort of analyze what it is we want and will aid us on our journey and what we feel we can let go of. It's very important. And then Murshid goes on to say, the impulse to attain a thing and the control of that impulse both are necessary. I just think that, I know it's really profound for me right now in my life. The impulse to attain a thing and the control of that impulse both are necessary. Very often, Murshid says, what happens, a man loses, a woman loses the chance of attaining something by over-enthusiasm. So it's like immediately all the energy is exhausted. So we want to, it's like the candle in the wind, right? It's like if the wind's blowing real hard, the candle goes down very fast. But if we maintain the breath and the rhythm, we can go the distance. It's like a well-trained athlete. We're spiritual athletes. So shall I read that, just that one statement again? Because I think it's important. A person loses the chance of attaining something by one's over-enthusiasm because we put our life out of balance. At the same time, the power of impulse is a great power. So he's not saying one shouldn't have it, but understanding it and using the energy behind that, and maybe at times even conserving the energy behind that. At the same time, the power of impulse is a great power. The person who has no strength in this impulse will certainly lose. It is to strike a balance between impulse and control. Impulse and control. There must be an impulse, but it must be under control. There must be an impulse, but it must be under control. So we could liken it again to that journey we took yesterday. We had the impulse, we had the sincerity to come together and make that prayer and that practice and take that journey. But if one is too overexcited, one can lose... can even lose sight of the impulse. Has anyone done that? Taken up something and then it's like, right? You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to be the best runner. I'm going to go do the Boston Marathon. The new, I buy the shoes. I buy the outfit. I'm on my practice. And, and then, you know, all of a sudden.
You break your foot.
But you see, it's a very interesting one, and it's good to analyze that and see, can I hold, you know, it's like in yoga, you know, holding the asana. Murshid Hidayat talks about that. Holding, he always describes meditation as a natural result after concentration. We can make this analogy here. Murshid Hidayat is the son of Hazrat Anayat Khan, but he talks about you hold an object, or this impulse, we could say, you hold the object before you. So imagine, let's just imagine in space before us. Well, we could imagine this triangle we're going to use in our triangle breath. So we imagine a triangle of light pointing upward. Okay? And you just hold that. And you use your mind to imagine the shape and size of it. And you might bring that triangle closer to you in your vision. And more far away, you may feel sort of some pressure at the center of your forehead as your inner eye gets activated. And again, the point is upward, this glowing, beautiful triangle. You can imagine that it changes to any color you wish it to be. You might imagine the outline of it, a color, and the fill-in of it, another color. This is engaging a kind of creative meditation. You might imagine that the triangle comes up to the crown chakra. Again, the triangle, the base is at the bottom, the point upward. And then you bring it out in front of you again, just eyes closed, imagining. And then hold it at a certain distance before you and concentrate. Let it just be there in space. Hold it and hold it. Make it very clear. And then, as if you're taking space and erasing that triangle from the top of its point all the way down, slowly, slowly, until it disappears and all there is space. And rest there. So it's as if we have this object of this impulse, and we hold it, and we hold it, and we hold it, and we release it. And did you feel a little bit of spaciousness around you after you let go of the concentration? Meditation is like releasing. It's not doing something, you know. It's like the releasing of these concentrations in a way, and then you fall into a natural. I mean, we could do this for a very long time, and we often do, but I'm accelerating it because, again, I have three classes that I have to get into too. So, all right. So think about that. You can use that open-eyed, concentrating on something, holding that vision in your, it would help with controlling. If we find ourselves, we have a tendency to have an impulsive nature. It's a good practice. Sometimes, I know Pierre Schaapta and Murshid Wali Ali shared with me that one of the practices that Murshid Sam gave to them a lot was just the dot in the circle, right? And so it's just, you know, using the breath, and you do it open-eyed, and then you close the eyes, and then you hold it, and then you release it, and then you can fall into this natural state of meditation. So along with this, with controlling an impulse and analyzing oneself and being aware of that, I first want to say you pay attention to the culture of the breath. Is the breath impulsive? Murshid always talks about these two things, balance and rhythm. Balance and rhythm. So you can take those two words away. Is the breath balanced, and is it in a rhythm? Okay. If it's not, if it tends to be shallow and quick, you know, the mind's going to be that way too. If it's long and expansive, you may fall into a meditative state. At the same time, you can fall into things like depression or lethargy. So you have to be mindful of how one's using the breath. It's a lot of information. Don't try to absorb it all. Just let it come into the mind stream. Okay? You try to grasp it. It's the same like that impulse. So let's do a practice. I want to give a little bit. This isn't my commentary. This commentary is from a beautiful book called The Physicians of the Heart that's been produced by the Sufi Rouhaniyat. And so I'm going to read a little bit from that book here. The practices, we begin with the prefix ya. Ya is like a honorific term, or it's an endearment. It's like, oh dear, oh most divine, and then followed with an attribute. Okay? So it's a beautiful like phrase of sort of honorific term of invocation. And the sacred word that we're going to use is Kawi. Kawi. Okay? Okay. And actually, the emphasis is on the we. It's a little elongated. Ka-we. Okay. So listen to this and see how it relates to what we just read by Mershon. Al-Kawi is the strength to overcome the impulse of self-expression. The impulse of self-expression. It is the strength to not use the power that we feel is ready to burst forth within us. Again, that Kenny Rogers. No, now he's on commercial. Have you seen him? Have you thought about it every time you see that commercial? Right? It's like, we know, Kenny. We know. It's like, we know, Nuria. The know when to hold it, know when to fold it, right? Right? And I'm thinking, oh, God, are other people seeing this commercial? I'm thinking of the class. But it's kind of like that. You know, we sometimes have this impulse to say something, and how often then do we say, oh, my God, if I had just thought first, right? So it's that kind of measure of kind of equanimity and control. Realizing Al-Kawi allows us to overcome the feeling of always being the doer or active controlling agent. Anyone know that one? And not only the controlling agent, but the controlling agent in this text says, in every situation. How inappropriate, but we do it, right? It comes up because we feel we can do it better, or someone else won't do it, or other people let us down. You know, it's all these, whatever these stories are. But again, self-analyzing why we do it can be very helpful. Then, this is beautiful. A physical form of the root of Kawi means to completely empty out one's house. To completely empty out one's house. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. Let's do that. This is not my body. Notice the motion of the zikr. This is the temple of God, the negation. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. And one can go on and say, this is not my heart. This is the altar of God. This is not my heart. This is the altar of God. So completely emptying one's house, whew, and then what? What stores may, jewels may be in store that can fill us? Al-Kawi is the command of the commanding self, the command of the commanding self, a self that is a very primitive and adamant self. It disarms the commanding self so that human beings can see that all personal power is the result of the real power. And that power is coming from the divine source. Not being the doer, being open and receptive, tuning to the, perhaps we could say tuning to the divine impulse. And being influenced by the divine impulse coming through another. We discussed that a little bit yesterday. It may be a beautiful expression, or maybe it's a harsh expression, or maybe it's a confusing expression. Whatever it is, that impulse is there, that divine impulse within ourselves, or perhaps within another, that if we don't react, do that impulsive to self-express back, or, you know, I love that saying, give a fool a flower and they will throw back at you a stone. It's Hazrat and Akan saying that. Give a fool a flower and they'll throw back at you a stone. So sometimes you have to wait till the correct time. But also questioning that impulse, that thing that just happened between us, is there, what is the message? What is the divine message? What is the divine teaching coming through? Is it to have more patience, tolerance, compassion, understanding, self-discipline, etc., etc. In addition, recitation of Ya Kawi is an antidote for those who feel that they have to be in control. Control issues in the personality often stem from fear of death. I thought that was interesting. And you know, I think we're talking about death, like, you know, big, you know, like self, body, heart. The heart, you know, gets wounded, the soul in some way. Control issues in the personality often or the end of something. You know, like clinging to something when it's finished. Or an experience, like, I don't want to leave camp. You know, some people, we can go through that, right? Like, I love it here. Can I just live here? I love all these people. I don't want to go home. No. Hopefully you don't have that. But you might a little bit. I was talking to my husband about that. You know, when I was a little kid, I went a few years away to a camp. Camp Little Flower for St. Teresa. And all the way there, it's like, I don't want to go to camp. I don't want, you know, and the next week when they came to pick, I don't want to go home, right? So it's like we not wanting to do one or the other, but this is sort of giving up the control. It's like, okay, what's the worst thing that's going to happen here? Okay.
So. Get me out of camp, Renato.
That's right. So control issues in the personality often stem from the fear of death, and Al-Kawi can be experienced as a pathway for conquering this fear. It's beautiful. So shall we try it?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna recite this on our prayer beads. We have, and you all know this, I mean, many of you are much more expert than I, but just for those of us that need the friendly reminder, so they're set up and they have, I have this at an 11, it's just a little clip-on thing, but you know, we have 33 beads and then a spacer and 33 beads and a spacer and 33 beads. So typically when one does a wazifa or sacred phrase, you'll do it 34 times. My Murshida Vera taught me to say it aloud with the ya before it, and then I go to the next 34 beads on a whisper without yah. And then the last ones are silent, inward. It's like, it's called zikr, aloud, fikr on the breath, the swing of the breath, the rhythm of the breath, fikr asir, just the essence of the vibration that has created the atmosphere of that sacred phrase. Okay? Shall we do it? You might want to listen a few times and then join in. I've been doing this with the dogs, and they're like, you know, they've been watching me. They've been my spiritual companions while I'm practicing these wazifas before we come, so. Oh, what a blessing. Do you know what that is? That's a real special blessing. Alhamdulillah. You're totally enlightened now. The end of class.
No control.
Let them be.
I didn't grab this.
Let it go. Yeah. Control the impulse to hold on. We'll find all your beads for you. Okay.
Well, I'm glad I didn't hear.
Yeah, no, it really, no, there's a whole teaching on that. It is really considered to be a special blessing. Am I right, Kalisa? Yeah, it's supposed to be very, it's like really breaking things open and new things will begin, you'll see. We have a chair over here, dear. And there's some back there, but. Mazel tov. Yeah. You sure?
There are beads on the floor, be careful.
Yeah, we don't want anyone slipping. They rolled around. You can go there, dear. So we're about to begin this practice of Yakawi. We've been talking about controlling an impulse, and this wazifa is the thing that in fact gives us a lot of strength to, you know, it's like self-control in a magnificent way. And the wazifa is Kawi. Ya Kawi, 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 Now just on a whisper, and as you breathe in, go Kawi, and out Kawi, in Kawi, 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 Kawi. Kawi. Now just silently on the breath. Feel the atmosphere up. Kawi. Now, I will say that we'll have again online. These will be posted, and the practices will be. And I have a link going to the Physicians of the Heart on the Rouhaniyat site, and it's wonderful because they have the pronunciation by a native Arabic speaker, a woman's voice, and then Imam Bilal Hides. He's a Arabic scholar, but an English, you know, American, and then Pir Zia is also, and so you'll hear that the sound can sometimes change, you know, and I've talked about Arabic being dialectical, so you'll notice that. You may notice those uniquenesses, but the vibration is the same. Anyone want to share anything that about the practice or something that might have arisen? No?
I have a question.
Yes, please.
So is this one of the triangular, like the three-part?
It's one of the wazifas that we're going to do as part of this, this body.
I've never have heard that term before.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and the triangle breath is something different, and we're going to do that. No,
that.
But there is a kind of trilogy of practices that I developed along with this teaching of Murshid. So, but that would be an interesting thing to try, maybe. I haven't really thought about that with the triangle breath. But it's interesting that we're doing three wazifas and we're focusing on the triangle breath. We'll do that at the end. Is that okay? Yes. You'll feel it, and sometimes we sort of settle into these practices, but I will say you don't have to make it you don't have to do them with such force or, you know, as a law. I mean, you can do it, ya kawi, ya kawi, ya kawi, ya kawi. You know, I'd rather you do it 11 times than not at all, right? Mm-hmm. And you can do it, you can do the whole round in, you know, ya kawi, ya kawi, ya kawi, pretty quick. And then kawi, 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 kawi. Murshid Avira had asked Pir Vilayat, she was very close to Murshid Samad after his passing. She was also close to Pir Vilayat. I remember her telling me we had been traveling together. It was one of the times, and she said, I asked Pir Vilayat if I had to just use one inhalation, one exhalation. Did she ever tell you this, Kalisa?
No.
She said,
it's always something I have a hard time understanding.
About the breath and that.
About,
yeah.
Because I wonder. Yeah.
But she said he gave her permission to do kawi, 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 you know, like on one out-breath four and on in-breath four, do them quickly. And she used to, you may remember, because I know you were a student of Murshida's as well, she used to talk about it. She would give that analogy like tapping a nail. So it's like at first we're kind of really setting the nail, so it's saying this aloud and setting that purpose for the practice. And then as you get it set, you start tapping it a little bit. So it's like, you know, a little bit more gentle. It's a nice analogy. You know, it's a functional one, certainly. There are others, but that was a nice one that she would give us. Okay. Just a little more reading from today, and then we're going to peek at tomorrow as well. But we'll do the triangle breath in between. So back to Hazrat Anayat Khan's teaching. He says, let me just be sure I'm going to the right. Yeah. A person who is overjoyous on having riches must be sure that they will soon be lost. And the same... Yeah. A person who is overjoyous on having riches must be sure that they will soon be lost. And the same is with everything. I mean, you know, that's again, and we did talk about it, you know, it's like that seed, you know, to give the analogy of nature, we have it here, you know. The seed comes to fruition, and then it dies, but it maybe replants that seed to again come to fruition. You know, and His Holiness the Dalai Lama describes it. He says, within the seed of everything is its own destruction. It's natural. It's just like breathing in. We don't hold it forever. We have to breathe out and release it. And we breathe in again. And this may be true in many, many things. You know, there's a cycle. And appropriately so. You know, and again, it's that impulse to not, well, either control it or cling too long, you know, but to be with that. Sort of what is the divine impulse? Tuning to that. Does that make sense? I know that a lot of us have lost loved ones since we last saw each other. We know that feeling very well, right? It would be awful to cling to someone and keep them with us, and we can do that. We can will that and not let someone fall into that grace gently. That's a one way. That's why they say so many people die alone in the middle of the night. Because of the pull, you know, of the connection. I remember my Rinpoche, Comtal Rinpoche, saying to us, he would come, he's not traveling so much anymore, he's old and has problems with sight and mobility, but still teaching, very vital in his monastery in India. You know, they're living in exile there. And I remember, and he had a vision. I mean, he was monastic. He was recognized in a really interesting way. He recognized that he belonged in another place and time, and then things happened and they became realized. And so anyway, he is a very highly recognized scholar. He's the senior, one of the senior teachers now for even His Holiness. And I have a great good fortune of having an intimate and close contact with him. He's like my mother and father and best friend in many ways. Spiritual teacher, certainly, with great respect to him. But he was visiting here, the United States, and he comes to see us, and we help him give teachings in the city. And when he was in his monastic phase and doing, you know, meditations in caves, he had this vision, and he had this vision, a very clear vision of a home with a particular kind of roof and a particular area. And in that home lived a young woman who he really felt was to be his wife. And so he told his teacher this, and he said, well, we need to explore that, and perhaps it is your destiny to have, or your karma, to take this wife and sort of propagate in that way. And so although living as a monastic, he did marry, and the wife is much younger than him, like by 30 years. And they have a wonderful relationship, and she's a very wise and incredible being in her own right. And the children are all luminous and wonderful too, and have been recognized as, you know, teachers and Rinpoches, et cetera, et cetera. But he said to us, we were in the kitchen, and Joe and I both were talking about this recently. We wondered in what context he had told us this, but it has to do with that clinging and holding on before, you know, longer than one should. So he said, you know, now again, this is through a translator because he doesn't speak English, but this is how it was expressed. But he's like, you know, My wife, and she was there, you know, Khandra Law is so much younger than me. And, you know, it's not impossible that one day she would just be tired of me. You know, I'm growing into an old man, and she may want to be with a younger man. And, you know, I just have to let her go, because it would be so, it would make her so unhappy to hold on to her longer than necessary. And that is her, you know, karma, and it's our karma, you know. And I thought, how beautiful is that? I mean, that understanding that it just may be that way, and why would he imprison her in that way? You know? It's like that understanding that they came together, they've had this family, they've built these monasteries, they've, you know, had this deep connection. You okay, Sess?
Yeah.
Okay. And, gosh, it's nothing like having your sister walk out on your class. Are you okay?
I think I ate too much food.
Okay, Tommy. Okay, good luck. Yeah, just let it go, okay? It's okay. It can happen. See, every time, everything has a...
At least hers didn't spill out on the rug.
And if it had, it would have been okay.
And what's coming to me is his non-attachment could open the door for her to be able to stay regardless of his age.
Well, don't you feel that way too? Yeah, like that graciousness makes you just love someone more.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Time check. We're good. So let's work with this triangle breath, okay? And there are two forms of it. In this form, the triangle is pointing upward, as I said. And in all traditions, we have this masculine and feminine principles, or we could call them active and receptive principles if you don't want to use masculine and feminine. Okay, and so whenever we're pronounced on an exhale on the right side of the body, it is the active principle. Okay, when the pronounced breath is on the left side of the body, it is the receptive principle. Okay, does that make sense? So you can start to visualize that depending on which direction we're going to trace this triangle, the breath is going to create a more active state of mind or a more receptive state of mind. So this is very good to know in places of business. Let's say you're coming into a situation and you know that perhaps the meeting might have an element of dissatisfaction coming from the other party and you're wanting to come to a place of harmony. You can use both those principles. One, to be receptive, to hear. By the way, if you want the secret of Sufism, it's right here, right now. This is it. This is it in a sentence. Does anyone know? Hakima? Kalisa? Anyone? All of you know, actually. When I say it, you'll go, oh yeah, I knew that. How about our... This is like the incarnation of Murshid Sam, isn't it? Kusaro. He always reminds me of Murshid. We'll hold that for... Maybe we'll hold that till tomorrow so you come back. But also at the same time, you don't want to be totally receptive and take in the vibration. You want to come to a place of harmony, and there might be some way that we need to become more practical. You could call it willful or powerful if you need to. I mean, this is certainly good, good for women to know. You know, if you're in a situation where you feel you're perhaps in jeopardy in some way, use the breath. You might think of it almost like the knight who has the strength to defend, you know, sort of hold that sword of justice, and the queen in her beauty and beneficence. Okay, so it's these, this beautiful dance. Does that make sense? Kind of a, for me, it's a nice imagery. Maybe you have another one. Or it could be like the earth and water. You know, one's more fluid and one's more stable and solid. We have people that have to leave for their karma yoga, and that's good. Thank you for coming, Lydia, Sky. So we're going to begin... Again, holding the image of this triangle, and we're going to trace it. You may even want to sort of use your eyes with them closed, like as if you're tracing this triangle. Maybe it'll help you hold it if you're not prone to good visualization. And typically, when we do a lot of the alternate nostril breathing practices, we hold the breath on the in-breath, but here we're going to hold it on the out-breath. And why is that? It's because by holding it on the out-breath, we've totally surrendered, And it has the purpose of helping to soften the ego, this impulse to take that gasp in, okay? So hold the vision, and you can use your fingers to help control the nostrils. And the first breath we're going to do, and you can just listen, and I'll give you the instructions again. We're going to breathe in the left nostril, going to the peak of the triangle, and out the right nostril, and we're going to hold along the base of the triangle. And then we're going to breathe in the left nostril, and out the right nostril, and we're going to hold again along the base of the triangle. And we do this in a rhythmic pattern, and I'll do my best to keep count for us. And this breath is very intense. You know, they say Chagall that, you know, you close everything off as a very intense breath. This is very intense. We don't need to do many of these breaths. The effect will happen. So I'm going to ask you to consider if there's anything in your being. Again, this is about controlling impulse. Remember, self-analysis. Is there anything in your being that you'd like to, you know, some play of the ego that you'd like to overcome? Something that you recognize in yourself? You know, it can be a little thing. And again, it's not about being self-critical. It's about being self-aware. And how can we come to become more of who we really are intended to be without these veils? So is there a veil that we're willing to part? Or a shroud that we're willing to let go of so that we can become ever more luminous in the image of our soul? You can concentrate on that one thing. And by doing this breath again, in through the left, out through the right, and holding, we're going to exert a little bit of willpower. Now just trust. Just trust that it will happen. These are ancient mystical practices. You don't have to believe me. You can use these practices and see what happens in your own life. Here I just offer it to you as an opportunity. So I'm going to do this gesture. I usually put my finger here at my forehead, and I'm going to use my fingers to help control the breath. Some of you maybe are masters and can do that without closing off your nostrils. Alhamdulillah, praise God. It also helps if you put your tongue here on the roof of your mouth, or you can gently put it behind your teeth and put your eyes here where the triangle is. You might consider it here, like you're drawing it on your forehead. Okay? And you're envisioning it in light. And you're tracing it in light. So let's take a deep breath in. Out, two, three, in left. Out right. Hold. In left. Out right, hold, in left, out right, hold. Release, breathe through both nostrils. Observe. Now for this next breath, which is going to go the opposite direction. So we just did the more active one. So again, exerting some strength to help perhaps control an impulse appropriately, or to refine some aspect of our being that we wish to refine. So you can use this. If you're working with a teacher, you may ask respectfully the advice of the teacher if this is appropriate along with your own practices. Those in our circle can use this if you wish. We haven't done this as a common practice, but you can integrate this. So now for the next set, please consider some quality within that you would like to awaken. So the first phase, mind you, is like that la ilaha. So it's the wiping away. And this is like the il alahu. There's nothing but God. So, but is there an attribute? Is there's a sacred impulse awakening with you that you would like to cultivate and bring forward in your life as an offering to oneself and to others? And it might be just something you need for this camp. It doesn't have to be for the all of life. It changes. So now let me just say how the practice will go. We'll breathe in and we'll breathe out. Then we'll start in through the right and out through the left. Hold, and then in through the right, out through the left. Hold. And we'll repeat that, and I'll give you the instructions. We'll do it on a rhythmic beat. Remember, the hold is going along the lower base of the triangle. Right traces it up to the zenith, and you come back down again to the base and hold. Is that clear? Everybody has that? Okay, good. So we'll start again. Let's breathe in. And out. This is through both nostrils. Now hold, in, right, out, left, hold, in, right, out, left, hold. In right, out left, hold, and release. Notice your own atmosphere. Notice thoughts, feelings, sensations. Now, the triangle pointed upward is really a great practice for retreat purposes. But when you start to invert the triangle, it also becomes for the purposes of manifestation. Okay, so there's two impulses there. Today, we've just done the upward triangle.
Could you just say that again? The upward
is more for our aspiration and, you know, control of the ego. And the downward pointed one is for manifestation. Okay? So they're very practical breaths. You know, ones, they aid in different purposes, in different ways.
For example?
If I had a project that I was trying to bring to fruition, I would probably begin with a receptive breath in a way that makes me tune to the highest aspiration of that project. But when I go to work on it, I would want to bring in that more active principle to bring it into manifestation. Now, here's an interesting thing that Murshida Viri used to do with us also. And those of you, some of us are doing that now, I know. She would always ask me and women in her circle to check in with her at the new moon. Remember? Yeah. And the purpose of, and she always said to us, so here's kind of the principle. She would always say for us to plant that intention, right, for the next month, so that as the moon was waxing, it would come, it would be illuminated with the light and come to fruition. And that she really asked she asked me, and I suppose others, to do on a monthly basis to kind of consider that. My understanding is for the men in her circle, it was the opposite. She asked them to kind of consider what they were going to refine in their being at the full moon, and as the moon was waning, how it would go more into the letting go phase. See, when men are often, you know, it's not always, we are both that, but, you know, doers, you know, we got to accomplish something, and, you know, whatever. And so those are, again, those principles in the moon phase, but that happens also with this triangle breath. So inspiration, and then maybe even aspiration, you know, like, and it's, you know what it is, it's the Sri Yantra in Hinduism. It's those interlocking triangles, think about it. So when we do them together, you know, those triangles are coming together. And it's the active and the receptive and the... Yeah, and it's the six-pointed star, which we saw all over when we were in Turkey. Sorry?
I just said chili sauce.
Hot chili sauce.
Well, I was going to ask, yes. Would that explain why, if left more corresponds to the feminine receptive, why the one that you said was more for reception begins with, or more active, more masculine begins with the left nostril?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good thing. So the thing to always remember, it's... The nostril that is exerting the exhale is the principle that we're dealing with. So we did begin with the left, but then we, it's almost like, you know, they always say behind every great man is a really great woman, kind of like that. So it's like we use this, this principle of harmony and beauty to offer sort of support to this will and power. And it helps balance it so it's not this overexertion or... You know, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It kind of lifts it up and gives it a sense of beauty and grace. Mm-hmm.
It gives it a woman's touch.
Yeah, that's right. In a way, you could say it that way.
I'm glad you asked that question because I was curious about that too. Uh-huh. I didn't understand why you start with the left.
You start with the left. It's always the breath, the nostril that you're exerting out of that is the principle that you're dealing with. Okay. Does that make sense to everybody?
Okay. Is there like an aspect of Jalal with this?
Yeah, I wasn't going to talk about that, but it's exactly right. I mean, in Sufic terms, we call the left side Jamal, beauty, harmony, and we call the right side Jalal. It's this power and the active principle. And the stillness in between... is Kamal. It's the union of the two. So these are the principles. And Pir Vilayat used to teach us the Zikr in that way, especially in Fikr and Fikr Asir. I don't know if you remember that, Kalisa. I think you studied with him for a while too. But there were these Zikrs that he would, when we were doing retreat with him, there was them. You know, depending on if it began with an inhalation or an exhalation, it would promote one of these qualities within us. And so usually at the beginning of our retreat with Pure Light, it was always about starting with the release, so the breath would go out on the La Ilaha and in on the Ilalahu. But then towards the end, it would come in on the Ilalaha and out on the La ilaha illallahu. There were all these subtleties which were incredible to study with him about. I'm not sure if that's continuing in that lineage, but it was a beautiful way to learn. Okay. I'm just going to check the time for us real quick. So we have 15 minutes, and I'm just going to read the beginning of the day two. Okay, so this is on, and I had mentioned it this morning, it was on attainment through confidence, but we could also call it attainment through concentration. And Hazarat Anayat Khan tells us this. I think it's so important to realize that with the exception of the little book, was actually the Gayan. It just started as the Gayan. You know, when Mirsha passed away in India, they found his personal notebook on his nightstand. And that those were his personal notes, his aspirations and inspirations. And that's what's been now made into the Gayan and then the Nirtan and the Vedan, you know, that book. But initially it was only the Gayan. And so those are very precious. If you don't get anything else, you want to get that book or the combination of them. And with the exception of that, he didn't write. All of what we're hearing are audio. You know, I mean, they're spoken teachings. So, you know, I'm not saying them in the way Mirsha did, but you can imagine that he's speaking these words to us, even though now they've been sort of, you know, grouped together. And my understanding is a good friend of mine, Mershita Ronnie McLaughlin, they're doing another version of the Orange Volumes. They're reissuing them, and they're maybe going to, you know, with the help of Sharif Graham and some of his discoveries from the archives, they're going to, sometimes things can get misinterpreted in a certain way, and so they're going to make sure and sort of reissue those. Well, that's a really lovely thing, I think. So, again, on the path of attainment. In the attainment, confidence is necessary. It is according to one's confidence that an object of attainment is drawn closer. It is according to one's confidence that the object of attainment is drawn closer.
One more time.
Yeah. Well, and let me just say, I'm remembering another teaching. I'm not sure what message volume it is in, but you know, an icon talks about this. You know, like the mysticism of breath is how to draw things near to you. In this sense, it can be considered a little tantric, you know, not in a sexual sense, but in the energy sense. And he says it's like how a cobra draws its prey to itself. You know, or have you ever seen a cat? Like, sit really still, you know, and it's just, and it's breathing, you can feel it, and it's starting to maybe even, without exerting its breath, you can feel the energy kind of build, so it's getting ready to just, boom, you know. Mirsha talks about it, and again, when I say Mirsha, I'm meaning a night, talks about it like the cobra that kind of can draw the prey to itself, and I don't know, have you ever seen a cobra, like really? I've seen them in India, you know, and they're like, right?
Your hand looks like one right now.
I know. I'm telling you, I've watched them, and they do this, and they kind of hypnotize. You know, they hypnotize with their movement, and then.
I was 17 when it happened.
Yeah.
Whoa. It was a good night.
Yeah. So you know, I mean, it's like you sit in this equipoise, and then you know, but it's almost like that confidence. And holding, you know. Again, Kenny Rogers, knowing when to hold it, knowing when to fold it, and also knowing when to walk away. What if you?
You just go right by it. You don't get it.
Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow.
Let it go.
Yeah, let it go, let it go, let it go. If it's really yours, it'll come around again. So again, in the attainment, confidence is necessary. The attainment, he didn't say in attainment, in the attainment. Confidence is necessary. It is according to one's confidence that an object of attainment is drawn closer. And again, I'm going to just add here, Mirshad Hidayat gave me permission, actually. He says, if it makes sense to say it a different way, you do it. It's like, if you said it this way, in the attainment, confidence is necessary. Concentration is necessary. Let's say it that way. In the attainment, confidence and concentration, we could say, but you can replace it with concentration is necessary. It is according to one's confidence that the object of attainment is drawn closer, or we could say it is according to one's concentration that the object of attainment is drawn closer. It's interesting, too, that we're talking about drawing it closer to us instead of reaching out and grabbing it. Mm-hmm. It was such a great lesson the first time I had food at an ashram. You know, it was all like there laid out, and I thought, oh, well, that looks like a good banana, and someone reached over with a ladle and hit my hand. I was an Indian, and it was like, and they like, no, you wait for the food to be handed to you. You don't grab it. It's served to you. It's interesting, in the Sufi movement at summer school, that's also the way it's done. And it's beautiful, too, because often it will be the murshids that will volunteer to serve the food to the students. It's lovely. It is not by over-enthusiasm. So again, let me read the whole thing again. In the attainment, confidence is necessary. It is according to one's confidence, concentration, that the object of attainment is drawn closer. It is not by over-enthusiasm. For over-enthusiasm is intoxication. It is not by enthusiasm, for over-enthusiasm is intoxication. A person intoxicated by enthusiasm is liable to do the wrong thing instead of the right thing. It is always the inner power which is the secret of attainment. And the less the inner power is expressed, the better it is. Have you noticed when people don't talk a lot, you have a tendency to pay attention to them more than if they talk a lot, you tune them out? Yeah. That's the whole point here a little bit. Like, the secret is the inner power. Okay, the less the inner power is expressed, the better it is, which can also relate to overenthusiasm. It's like offering someone this beautiful, beautiful little sliver of a cake or a piece of pie, and it's just so yummy, you know? But if you put that whole pie there and told someone they had to eat it all, they probably wouldn't like it very much. By the time it got to the end, they'd never want to see that thing again, right? So it's like holding it a little bit, you know? It's like, you know, there's this whole other body of teachings that Murshid gives us on the curl of the beloved and like this secret, you know, like keeping something. You know, it's like when maybe you first fall in love and you don't want everyone to know. You don't want to share it with everyone. You want it to just be this secret. Well, fall in love with the ultimate beloved. Keep that secret. That's what we're doing here. Yeah. We have a dance party in the morning in our cabin, so if you want to join us. But all the songs that I've selected are they're like, you know, somewhat contemporary songs, but they're all, it's like, you know, this morning I was saying, well, just listen to that and think it's not about a person, it's about God. Like, I love you more today than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow, right? Like, wow, that's pretty mystical. Am I right? Yeah. Or, you are the sunshine of my life. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Get goosebumps, right? And come join our dance party. And then we stop and do the prayers. The Jamal and the Jalal, right? And the Jalal and the Jamal. It makes me feel good to dance. How about you? I think we need more sock hops. I don't know about anybody else. Maybe they aren't old enough to know what a sock hop is, but I do. It's about moving energy, isn't it? And sharing energy, really. But also not too much. Mm-hmm. Right? You can start to step on your partner's toes. You move too fast. There's another one. Slow down. You move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just. Is it enough for today? So remember, using the breath, another wonderful thing is observing the breath. Oh, wait a minute. Notice right now which nostril you're in. What's the dominant nostril that your breath is in? Can you tell? Do you have a sense of it? How many people are left? Okay. How many people are right? It's good if you're, we're getting ready to transition, so I suspect we're moving into that right nostril. We know we're going to get up and move and do things. When you come into zikr or you come to a teaching or you meet with your teacher, it's good to try to get in that left nostril to be a little more receptive. And when you're going to do the dishes or move things, get in the right nostril. What's that saying? Give me a lever and I can lift the world. The lever's the breath. Okay. There's it. That, thank you. I knew you'd know. Oh, I see Karima Gita. She has these yellow manuals. They have all the prayers, and they have the prayers with the movements that Anayat Khan gave. They have the description that Anayat Khan gave about why we do the movements and what their mystical meaning is. It also has the triangle breath in it, other things. And we're asking for a donation just for the manual. If you like one, they're available here, and you can talk to Karima Gita about that.
One, yes. One real quick question to sum up the first part of your teaching. When you taught the visualization and that Anayat Khan always gave Merchant Sam the circle with the dot in it. So basically, are meditation of any kind is the means ultimately by how you can master these impulses. It was that pretty much.
Thank you. Very succinct. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I just want to be sure.
You got it. You got it. Thank you very much. Beautifully said. O thou who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide men. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit and unite us all in thy perfect being. Amen.